Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering. This is our text. Have you ever wondered what it might be, what it must have been like to be one of God's people in the Old Testament? I don't mean all the interesting parts, like seeing the Red Sea parted and walking through on dry land, or maybe all of your enemies falling in battle before your eyes. No, I'm thinking about the day in, day out, week in, week out business of just being one of God's people. How about being one of God's priests? I know I wouldn't have the stomach for it. Think for a moment about the mess. Almost nothing is done in the Old Testament without blood. Real, literal, flowing blood from animals. The blood is everywhere. In Leviticus chapter 1, the Lord gives instruction for the burnt offerings. He says, if his gift is for a burnt offering, if it is from the flock, from the sheep or the goats, he shall bring a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar. He shall cut it to pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall arrange them on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But the entrails and the legs he shall wash with water. The priest shall offer all of it and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Or consider when Aaron was ordained as priest, two rams were offered for sacrifice. And in Leviticus chapter 8, we read the instructions for the second ram. Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, his garments. Blood is put on Aaron. Even his garments have to be sprinkled with blood. What a messy and disgusting business this priestly work was. But it wasn't just the priests covered in blood. No male could even be part of God's kingdom until blood was shed in circumcision on the eighth day. The Old Testament is full of specific instructions for sacrifices to cleanse a person from this sin or that sin, most of them tied to blood. Blood on the altar, blood on the priest, blood on the people. What a mess. What a disgusting mess. The mess. Sin, the mess of mankind's sin, brought on this mess of blood. Sin makes a mess of our lives. It makes a mess of other people's lives on our account. Sin destroys and it kills. It is a filth contaminating each one of us. Blood must be shed for sin. Can you imagine coming here to church on Sunday morning? Your bleeding lambs or goats in the back seat of the car, I suppose, not knowing what fate is about to befall them, hearing the slaughter, seeing the blood flow. I wouldn't want to be on the altar guild, even having blood splattered on you. All this mess because of sin? How sterile and clean our church life seems now. If we take a step back and read a little earlier in Leviticus chapter 8, the whole ordination of Aaron. Before the killing of the rams, we hear how Moses purified Aaron with water. Moses brought Aaron and his son and washed them with water. In Exodus, we find the instructions for priests to wash their hands and feet in the ceremonial basin of bronze. the priests could not draw near to God without first washing. Notice they don't ceremonially wash the blood off of them after the sacrifice. No, they have to be clean before they even touch the sacrifice. They could not offer a sacrifice of blood to the Lord without themselves clean. Blood and water, water and blood, purification, payment. So what, you say? We don't live in Old Testament times. What does all this mess of blood and guts have to do with us today? Everything. If it is true what the writer to the Hebrews says, the priests stood daily offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So if the sacrifices of the Old Testament weren't enough, how then is it that we are freed from the mess of our own sin? Abel's lifeblood flowed out of him by his death at the hand of his brother. And ever since, blood has been flowing for sin. But what about your mess? What about mine? How do we make sacrifice for our sin? To what altar do we bring the blood? But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of God, for by his single offering, he has perfected for all time we who are being sanctified. Single shedding of God's blood, of God's perfect blood and water flowing out of the side of Christ from the cross. A new high priest, not one that needed to daily offer sacrifices that never really finally took away sin, but Christ, who offered for all time a single perfect for all sin. Not a high priest who would need to be cleansed with water, but one who through his baptism in the Jordan instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. Jesus, mediator of a new covenant, by his speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. By his blood, he has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. Our Lord gives us this promise through the prophet Ezekiel. God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. God promises to cleanse his people. We are able to draw near to God, not because of the constant sacrifice of animals, but because of his sacrifice. Our hearts have been sprinkled once for all with his blood, our bodies washed in the pure water of baptism, making each of us priests. Through baptism of water and spirit, he has given you his. And lest we think that in some way our work is our work, it is God's. God promises what he is doing here, this font from this altar. As we read in Ezekiel, the washing is God's activity. Israel wasn't cleansed by mindlessly following a bunch of rules about how to sacrifice. No, it was God's promise of forgiveness in Christ that made even those Old Testament sacrifices effective. And God promises his grace to you. His blood has been poured out on Calvary. And his blood makes your baptism effective too. God attached his promises to physical things in the Old Testament, and he does the same for us today. Things that we can see, feel, touch, taste. He does the same with the water and the bread and the wine. Taste and see that the Lord, you are a chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable through God in Jesus Christ. Whenever you see it, the Christian baptism, or you consider your own, remember, it is not simply some sort of initiation ceremony into the Christian family. It's not merely a replacement for circumcision. Baptism is the consecration of a priest Each of us are under priests of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest. We are his chosen people. So let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We enter this holy place. We enter into God's presence by the blood of Jesus, cleansed by the washing of the water, the word, confessing our faith with the whole Christian church, stirring each other up to works of love, assured that he will remember our sins, our lawlessness, no more. We offer our priestly sacrifices of praise, thanksgiving, and service to one another. Perhaps our church life, perhaps our existence as God's people is not any more sterile or less gruesome than that of the Old Testament. If you've seen Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, you get a glimpse of just how gruesome the cost of sin is, your sin and mine. No, the blood and the water, they flow here as well, down from the cross, over our bodies in baptism, and into our mouths, the sacrifice complete. It still comes to us, cleansing us daily as our sins are forgiven, as we remember our baptism, as we receive the body and blood of Christ, sprinkling our sinful hearts clean again and again. Thanks be to God that we have been cleansed by blood, not the blood of goats and lambs, by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in his name. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.